We begin the current daf and start this yuma daf pehe. We begin on the bottom of pedamid beis, three lines up in the bottom of yamit, where the gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. Now the Shmuel told us a halacha. Although generally we say that we go after the majority, after the rav, especially in the case of what's called the parish meruba parish. If let's say you have a group of 10 items, which one of them is kosher and nine of them are not, or nine of them are kosher, one of them is not, it doesn't make a difference if they are where they always are. That's called kavua, that's kemechsa. Mechsa will always be looked upon as a 50-50 chance that it's kosher or not. Whereas when it's parish, when it's separated from where it was and it moved to another place, then we say called the parish, whatever was removed from its place, is meruba parish, is coming from the majority, and that's how we'll decide what it is based on what the majority is. However, on that Shmuel told us that regarding suffik nefashas, regarding a doubt of a danger to a Jewish person's life, we do not go after the majority. Hence, in the case where you have nine kutim and one Jew, and if they were in their location, then obviously we would understand it would be a suffik nefashas because it would be 50-50. But even if there are some of those people that go from that location to another location, and then we're saying that if all of the people come there, and they come to another location, the chatzah acheres, where that's called the parsh meruba parsh, and the pile of rubble falls on one of them, when they're in motion and not where they're stationary, then we would say, generally, we would go after the majority, which would say that it's a kuti. However, that's what Shmuel teaches us, that no, since we know that the Jewish person came here, so although generally we'll go with called the parish, meruba parish, in case of suffik nefashas, we won't do that, and we'll say that maybe it's a Jewish person, and therefore we will be mefakeh zagal, we will go ahead and be mechal Shabbos, we'll do what it takes to save that person on the suffik, on the doubt, that it may be a Jewish person. Now, that the Gemara continues and asks, Umi Amr Shmuel Hachi, is it really true that Shmuel said that regarding Pekuach Nefashas, we do not go after the majority? But Vatnan, we learned the Mishnah Maseches Machshirin, and we'll see the way Shmuel himself defines that Mishnah will contradict what we're quoting from him right now. There's a Mishnah in Seder Tyrus regarding a city where there are Jews and Kutim that live in that city. Now, on that, the Mishnah tells us that Masaba Tinik Mushlach. What's the halacha if they find a child there just laying there on the floor? Now, we don't know whose child it is, if it's a Jewish child or if it's a Kuti. So, Imriv Kutim, so the Mishnah tells us, if the majority of the inhabitants are Kutim, then Kuti, we give them the status of a Kuti. Vimrev Yisrael, if the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, then Yisrael, then we take it, we assume that it's a Jewish child. Mechza Mechza, let's say it's 50-50 Jews and Kutim, then we still say Yisrael has a Jew, has a Halach as a Jew. Now, and that is machlekes, how to define the Mishnah for what halachic status is it that we're telling you that he's like a Jew or a Kuti. So V'amar Rav, Rav said that lo yishanu, we didn't learn this, that if the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, then we'll be machzik, we will assume the status of this child is that the child is Jewish. That was only said el l'achyoisei, that's only to keep the child alive. And that is, we have the responsibility, the obligation, that if it's a Jewish child, to keep it alive. So we'll say that if the majority of the people are Jewish, then we'll say there's a Jewish child. In other words, that we're responsible to keep it alive. However, to define its lineage, in the sense of, if let's say the child is a girl, that she should be permitted to a kohen who has to be marrying a Jewish child, on that law, that we don't say. And that is, as Rashi explains, that even though we're not going to have the other types of concerns generally when we have a child that we find, which is the halachas of a Sufi. Maybe it's a child, it's an illegitimate child, as the Gemara tells in Masechtas Kedushin. In spite of that, even if we're going to assume that it is a Jewish child, that's only going to be regarding the halachas of keeping it alive, but not for yichus. And in that sense, we don't say for sure that it's a Jewish child, and hence those who need the pure lineage will not be able to marry this child. That's the way Rav is defining this halacha. If the majority are Jewish, it's for the responsibility to, obviously you have to save the child, but even more, you have to keep it alive. But again, not taking it so far that saying for sure it's a Jewish child for yichus purposes, for lineage. Now we continue on top of Pehim and Aleph, where Shmuel Amr Shmuel says, he says, l'fakech alav esagal. He says that this that we said, that if the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, then we say the child is Jewish, that was only to go ahead and take off the pile of rubble that falls on the child and then to save it. However, if it would be 50-50, then we wouldn't say that. And most definitely, if the majority of the inhabitants of the city are Kutim, then we would definitely not be Mefakeh Chesakal. We would not go ahead and save the child because we'd say the majority of the chances are that it's a non-Yisrael child, and if we're not going to save it. Now that contradicts what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, regarding Pekuach Nefashas, where here you have a child underneath a pile of rubble, a building just collapsed on this child. Now we cannot be Mechal Shabbos to save a non-Yisrael child. However, but the problem is, according to Shmuel, By Pekuach Nefashas, we don't go after the majority. And it might be a Jewish child. It might be, let's say, 1/100th chance or whatever it is, but you still have to go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos. So why is Shmuel saying that this halacha of when the Reuva Yisrael, then it's like Yisrael to be Mefakech Adlam Asagal, and then that obviously he's only saying it by Rev Yisrael, not by Mechza Mechza, and Meshon, not by Rev Kutim, but why? Even Rev Kutim, you should still save for Pekuach Nefashas, you should save the child, because you don't go after the Reuva. So that the Gemara says, the key itmar de Shmuel, when did Shmuel say this statement, that the halacha of this Mishnah Machshirin regarding if the majority are Jewish or Kutim or half and half, that it's regarding this idea of taking off the pile of rubble, that was Areisha itmar. That was said regarding not what we thought we were discussing of when the Reuva are Yisrael, rather it's going on the Reisha was Im Reuv Kutim Kuti. On that halacha where the Mishnah tells him the majority of the inhabitants are Kutim, then we say that we're assuming the status of the child is that of a Kuti, not of a Yisrael. On that Amar Shmuel, and that Shmuel said, however, it's a however statement, however, regarding the saving of the life, regarding that we did not say that this child will have halacha of a Kuti, even when the inhabitants are Reuv Kutim, you'll still go ahead and save the child, because that's exactly Shmuel's other statement that we quote on the previous daf. Because regarding Pekuach Nefesh, we do not go after the Reuv. So though Reuv is defining for us that this child is a Kuti, that's for other areas of halacha, but not regarding saving the child. Saving the child, Pekuach Nefashas, that we don't go after the majority, and therefore, in that case, actually, we will save the child. Now, based on Shmuel's interpretation of this Mishnah in Machshirin, the Gemara asked the following question. How do we understand this part of the Mishnah and the rest of the Mishnah? And that is, Im Reuv Kutim Kuti, you're saying that you're qualifying that halacha. We said that if the majority are Kutim, then the child's a Kuti. And that is what Shmuel is saying. His statement of Lefakech Levesigal was, however, regarding Lefakech Levesigal, we won't say it's a Kuti. We will say that maybe it's a Jewish child and we will save it. But then Lamai Hilchasa, for what halacha did we say that if the majority are Kutim, then the child has the status of a Kuti? Because since you said that you're going to clear off the pile of rubble on Shabbos to save the child, now most definitely you have to keep the child alive, because if out of doubt you can Mechal Shabbos, most definitely have to support the child. So for what practical halachic ramifications are you saying that we're assuming this child is a Kuti, if you have to do everything to keep it alive as a Jewish child anyway? On that Amar Papa says, L'chil Nevelis, the difference is that you're right, although we, because of our suffix, even if the majority are Kutim, we say by Pekuch Nefesh, you don't have to go after the majority, and you have to save the child, and you have to support the child. There is a difference that we're assuming that it's a Kuti, is L'achil Nevelis, to give it to eat non-kosher food, and that is up until it becomes an adult. And then the child accepts upon himself, out of doubt, Gerus, to become a convert to the Jewish nation. In that interim, we're allowed to feed it Nevelis, because we assume that it's not a Jewish child, that it's a Kuti. And therefore, though we have to keep it alive because of Pekuch Nefashas, that's only for that area of halacha. But for the rest of halacha, we assume it to be a non-Jewish child, a Kuti, not a Yisrael. Now the Gemara continues asking, Im Reuv Yisrael Yisrael Lamai Hilchasa. But according to Shmuel, what does the other part of the Mishnah mean when it says if the majority of the people of the city are Jewish, then we assume the child is Jewish? For what halacha do we say that the child is Jewish? But if the majority... what does it help have Reuv Yisrael more than half and half Yisrael? Because if it would be regarding the one area that we said that if the majority of Kutim, we say the child is a Kutis, that we said you're allowed to feed it in the Velis, so we would say if it's majority of the people are Jewish, then you're not allowed to give it to eat non-kosher. But that even when it's 50-50 that we're saying there Yisrael, is the same idea that you can't feed it non-kosher, because that's the chiddush of what we're calling it Yisrael, because regarding keeping it alive, even when the majority of Kutim, we say you have to keep them alive. So it must be the difference of 50-50 is not to feed a non-kosher. So then what is the added case of when the majority are Jewish, that is Jewish, for what halachic ramification is that? Now the Gemara answers, l'hachzul avadasa. It's to have to give him back his lost object, that's only by a Jewish person, that is we're assuming that he's definitely a Jew and that you have to return his lost object. Now, that the Gemara asks, Mechza, Mechzi Yisrael, regarding when it's 50-50 Jewish and Kutim, that we assume it to be a Jew, Lamai Hechasa, for what halacha was that said for? So then, Rish Lakish, he says, L'nezakin, it's for the halachas of damages, and that is regarding if the ox of a Jew gores the ox of a Kuti, the Jew is patri, is exempt. However, when the ox of a Kuti gores the ox of a Yisrael, whether that ox is what's called a tam, which is within the first two or three times, or whether it's a mu'ud, which it has already developed, a chazaka that it's going to gore, then when it pays nezik shalom, regarding, however, when the Jews goes, that, however, rakuti, that gores the Yisrael, will always pay nezik shalom, always pay the full amount. However, there is a difference between a Jew's ox that gores a Jew's ox, that there a tam, and within the first two or three times, pays only what's called chatz nezik, half the amount of the damage, and a shor mu'ud, when it's already has been established that this is its character, that it gores, then if that Jew's ox gores another Jew's ox, he has to pay nezik shalom. So that was saying, you see there are differences in halacha regarding a Yisrael and a kuti. When they're 50-50, although it's not going to be the same as a majority Jewish people, when you actually have to return them as lost object, however, it will be regarding the halachas of Nizakin that will decide his case regarding oxen goring other oxen as a Jew, not as a kuti. Now that the Gemara as Heichadami, as we just described, what exactly is the case with this possible kuti, possible Yisrael, that we're calling him Yisrael, regarding these laws, what is the case? If you're going to say it's talking about a case when our ox, in other words, a full-fledged Jew, gored his ox, this doubtful child, when it's 50-50 and we're saying he has a halacha like Yisrael, and is that what? And that's what the Mishnah Machshirin is teaching you, that this doubtful child, you would have to pay him the requisite amount, because although by a kuti you're exempt, here we say that he's Yisrael, but how can you say that? Nisi Raya. He would have to bring a proof that he's Yisrael, v'nishkol, and then be able to take. In other words, because there's halacha of hamaytzi mechaveri olav araya. This child is a doubtful child. So although for certain halachas we're considering him a Jew, we have to keep him alive, we can't give him non-kosher, but that's regarding halachas of, let's say, Yerideya. But regarding halachas of chesh mishpat, which are the halachas of money, monetary halachas, is a klal of hamaytzi mechaveri olav araya. If you want to go ahead and claim money by somebody else, you, the onus of proof is on you. And therefore, this child, where it's doubt, up until he immerses in Bezdin and accepts upon him Geiris, you cannot say that a Jew that gores his ox will have to pay him, because bring a raya, bring a proof that you're actually Jewish. You're a doubtful type of child. No one knows if you're Jew or non-Jew. And therefore, how can we say that that would be the case of mechza, that we, regarding Nizakin, that if our ox gores his ox, that we would have to pay, who said, how do we know he's Jewish? So there the Gemara says, Leitzrich, it's the other way around. Dinachi tur di day le tur di dan. There's some of the case when his ox gores our ox. Now, on that, the halacha is palgi yohivle, so he definitely has to give chatzi nezik, half the damages, like a Jewish person that gores another Jewish person's ox, where you have to pay chatzi nezik within the first two or three times. However, idach palka, regarding the other half, which that is a doubt if he has to pay the Jewish person or not. Because the Jew is claiming, you're a kuti. Go ahead and pay me nezik shalom, because a kuti does not have the halacha of chatzin nezik of the first two or three times. And if you have to pay me the entire damages. Regarding that, name alay, the kuti tells the Jew, I see raya, delav Yisrael anavishkol, bring a proof that I'm not a Jewish person, and then you'll be able to take the other half that I would have to pay you as a kuti. However, since the halacha is hamoitzi mechaver olav araya, the onus of you're trying to take money away from me, you have to prove that I'm not Jewish, and you can't prove that either. So therefore, it works in both ways. That is a suffix. On that case is what we're saying, that it's mechza mechzi, has halacha like Yisrael regarding the zakin. It means when his ox gores the ox of a definite Jew, where on that we say that he has halacha like Yisrael, because we're in doubt, and therefore, maybe he really is Yisrael, and therefore we cannot require him until the other person proves that he's a kuti to pay nezik shalom, and only has to pay chatzi nezik when it's a shur tam. Now, if that, the Gemara explains the halacha in Machshir, and again, based on the interpretation of Shmuel, the way we were defining his statement, that he wasn't saying like Rav regarding lahach yoisai, this idea of qualifying Rav Yisrael Yisrael, he was actually coming to say that even when we say Rav Kurtoim kuti, that was only regarding what it was specific to, as we said, regarding Lachil Nevelis. We assume it to be a non-Yisrael child, and therefore we could give it non-kosher to eat. But again, on that, what he said, that even so, even when the majority, and we're assuming it to be non-Jewish, we will still have the halacha of Lefakech Levesagal, because by Pekuach Nefashes, we do not go after the majority, and we will say that maybe it's the Jewish child, and therefore we're going to save the child. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah on this same theme about saving a life on Shabbos. So the Mishnah told us, a Misha Nafal of Mapilis Vechula, regarding someone that a pile of rubble, a building collapsed on the person. So it's said about, even if it's a doubt that he's dear, even if it's a doubt that he's Jewish, even if it's a doubt that he's alive, on that the Mishnah says, even so, mefakin, we're going to go ahead and on Shabbos, dig up the pile of rubble to try to save possibly this person. Now on that the Gemara asks, my Kama, what is the Mishnah saying when it says all these suffix this, suffix that, what is it coming to teach the ultimate chiddush in all these cases and all these doubts that still mechal Shabbos? So that the Gemara explains, lo mebaya Kama, we're coming to tell you that not even, in other words, not even this, but even that, and not even that, even that. And that is, lo mebaya suffix husham, suffix enisham. We don't have to, we were coming to tell you bigger chiddushim as we went along. And that is, not only if there's a doubt if the Jew is there or if he's not there. D-E-E said that, and then what that would mean is that, but however, if he is there, chayu, that is alive, the mefakin, that then you have to go ahead and dig him up. Ela philosophic chay, suffix mes mefakin, but even if it's a doubt, even if he's there, but maybe he's dead, still you have to go ahead and try to save him. And not only that, even if he's there, that maybe if he's alive, but we're not even sure if he's Jewish or not Jewish, that then we would say, however, if he's Jewish, then we would say you save him. The third string of that chiddush was that even if you don't know if he's even Jewish, you still go ahead and you save it. That was the way it went along to say that maybe he's there, maybe he's not there. And that we're saying that still you have to go ahead. And then maybe he's alive, maybe he's not alive, still we say you have to. And then even with those sveikas, there's still another suffix that maybe he's not even Jewish, doesn't make a difference because there's that slight possibility with all those all different variables that it's a Jewish person that's there, that's maybe alive, and therefore you have to go ahead and try to save the person. Now the Mishnah told us, Mitzu'u chai mefakin. So if you find the person alive, you have to go ahead and dig him up to save him from being buried under this pile of rubble. That the Gemara asks, Mitzu'u chai pshita. What do you mean? It's pretty obvious. If you find him alive, you have to go ahead and save him. Now the Gemara says, Lo yitzrich, the chiddush is afil l'chayisha. Even for what's called temporary life. And that is, even if he's not going to live, he's not going to survive. The person is dying, but you'll be able to spare him a few more moments of life. That itself is worth more than Chil HaShabbos, and if you're allowed him Chil HaShabbos, just to save him to live just a little bit longer. And that's the Chiddush, that you're allowed to bury him up even for that. Now the Mishnah said, V'im meis yanichuhu. However, if the person's dead, you have to leave him, you can't dig him up to him Chil HaShabbos from the pile of rubble. That's pretty obvious also. Why would you be able to Chil HaShabbos if you're not going to save the life? That the Gemara says, Lo yitzricha, it's necessary to tell you Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, even according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. The Tanakh learned the Braisa that says, Eimatzil nesamesim b'nehad leka. The Tanakhama says, you're not allowed to save a dead body from the fire. And that is, although you don't want that to happen to the dead body, there's not a reason to be Mechal Shabbos because of a fire. However, Amr Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, he says, Shemati shematzil nesamesim. He says, I have heard that we do save the dead body, and that is, you're allowed to bring it to another courtyard that has an Erev. Because the only prohibition that you're really doing is the Isra of Tiltal, which is a rabbinic. And the reason is, you're allowed to do that Memnehad Leka, because of the fire that's coming and it's going to consume the body, it's going to destroy that body. And that will let it go ahead and be metaltlet to another chatzah. Now, that is what the Gemara tells us, that Rafilah Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, Leka, Amar, even according to him, he didn't say that one is allowed to go ahead and take out a dead body on Shabbos. Because a person is caught up in a tumult regarding the dead body. He's afraid, look what's going to happen to the body. It's going to get burnt by the fire. And therefore, if we wouldn't allow him to take away the dead body because of the oncoming fire, he might come to actually extinguish the fire and thereby be mechal esedai raisa on Shabbos. But here, if we don't allow him to go ahead and dig up the pile of rubble to take out the dead body, what would he come to do? That is, in other words, to say that we allow him to do that because of that. And that is, here there's no such a reason. The only opinion that allows you to drag out a dead body, even on Shabbos, because of a certain situation of danger, that was only, in a sense, because you might come to be mechal a greater iser, which is putting out the fire. So therefore, we let you do the smaller iser. However, here, there's no reason to allow you to save the body because of what? What are you going to come to do? You're not going to come to do any Issa Deraisa anyway. Hence, we don't allow you to save the body because of the situation. And that's the Chiddush. Of course, you're not allowed to move the body, Mimachal Shabbos, for that, because there's no saving of life. But the Chiddush is, even though we find elsewhere that we could do it because of the situation happening to the body, that's only because you might come to do a bigger Issa. Here, there's no situation of you might come to do a bigger Issa, And that's why we're telling you, even according to that shita, one's not allowed to take out the body on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara continues further on this topic of a mapoilis, of when a building collapses. So, Tarban, we're in the Braisa. That is, if they're coming to dig out the person, because we see that this building collapsed on people. Now, if it seems that the person is dead, and because he's not moving any of his limbs, it looks like the person is dead already. So the question the Braisa asks is, Ad heichen hu baidik? So the rescuers, when they're coming to try to save the person, how far do they check to see if it's true that the person is dead or not? So on that, the Braisa brings two opinions. Ad chaitma, you check up until his nostrils, and that is if there's no life source in his nostrils, you don't find any air coming in and out, then most definitely the person is dead and you have to leave him. You're allowed to go ahead and rescue, but when you see he's dead, there's no excuse to be rescuing the body on Shabbos. The Yeshayim, oddly, by some say that you save him, in other words, you keep on checking up until you get to the heart. And when you see by the heart, if there's a heartbeat or not, you feel the life source. If there's no life source, then you have to leave him. Now, on that, the Braisa continues, it says, Badak umatzel yoinim mesim. If you check and you find the upper people are already dead, they're already dead bodies, and that is, if, let's say, a building collapsed with many victims. So you check, the upper ones are dead already. The Braisa says, lo yoinim kvam mesu atachtoinim. Don't say that the lower ones are dead already. And actually, Maisahayid was once an incident that happened. Umatzel yoinim mesim atachtoinim chayim. They found the upper ones were dead. However, the lower ones were still alive, and therefore don't stop checking until you find every last person you've taken accounting from, if he's alive or if he's dead. So again, that's a machlekes regarding when we're coming to check to save the people, that we check up until we know for sure if they're still alive. If they're dead, then we can't be Mechal Shabbos anymore. It's either checking by the nostrils or by the heart. So that the Gemara wants to say, Nemehani Tanoi, let's say that this machlekes Tanoim, if you're checking up until the nose, or up until the heart, is kihani tanoi, is the same achleikis as the following tanoim. The time like learn the braisa. Mehechen havlad noitzer. Where is the fetus, where is the child formed from? Where does it begin, the formation of the child in the embryo? That, there's two opinions. Miraisha, the first opinion says, from his head, shalem like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, mimei imi, from the womb of my mother, ata goizi, you pulled me out. Now, the term geizi is talking about the formation of the child in utero. V'leiman, it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah, gazi nizrich, pull out your hair, vashlichi, and throw it away. Now, we see that the term of gazi, which is the same term David HaMelech is talking about the formation of the child, is in reference to Nazir. Now, Nazir is the Nazir who grows his hair long. So therefore, we see that the term of geizi, which is the beginning of the formation of the child, is a reference to beginning from the head. That would be like the opinion that said that the life of the person, where it begins, is from the head, which would be reference to the nose. Abba Sholeimer, he says, mitivure, the child is formed from the navel area, from the center. U'meshaleach sharashav eilich v'eilich, and then it sends forth its roots to the extremities. That would be like the pin who says that the life source is from the heart, which is by the center of the body. Another Gemara says no. Afilatema Abishol, you could even say that Abishol also holds that although he says that the formation of the child, of the person, is from the center, however, the life source would be checked by the nostrils. Because Adkan lekama Abishol hasam, when did Abishol say this idea that it's from the center of the body, of the navel? Elin Yitzira, that was regarding just the beginning, the formation of the child. The Chalmidi mimitziyasei mitzvah, because he holds that everything is formed from its center. However, regarding the saving of life, even he would agree, the ikr chiyusa ba'apehu, that the main life source is from the nostrils, from the nose. Tzachzivlik says a pasing bereishis, regarding by the Mabel, when it was talking about referencing all living things, it says, koilash nishmas ruach chayim bi'apam, that anything that has a soul of a life source in its nostrils, and therefore we see that the life source is considered by its nostrils, and that's why even Abishol would agree, although, yes, the child is formed from the center, however, he could agree like that other Tana, not that from the lay, but rather from the chaitim, because we see a pasuk says clearly that the life source is from bi'apav, is from a person's nostrils. Now, similar to this, that the Gemara said that it doesn't have to be that Abishol, who holds that it's mitivuri from the navel, that he would hold that it's from Liboy. Actually, he would agree that the chaitim is the primary life source, and that's up until where you would check. So similar to that, Amar Papa says, he qualifies that prior machlokes regarding if you check up until the nose or up until the heart. He says, machlokes, that whole machlokes was mimata lamala. if one is checking the victim from bottom up, and that is they find him by his feet first, and then they keep on clearing the rubble, they keep on checking, moving towards his head, and that is, there was one opinion that says that by his heart you can differentiate, you can discern if there's a life source or not, if the heart is beating or not. The other opinion held that no, you have to keep on checking up until the nostrils, because sometimes you cannot discern the heartbeat, the life source by the heart, but it would be recognizable by the nostril, and therefore you have to continue pushing and checking up until you get to the nose. Av mimal lamata, but from the top down, if you found him first by his head, kiven de bodigli at choytmai, everyone would agree that once you checked his nostrils, shuv in the tzach, you wouldn't have to check and continue moving to the heart. Like it says in the pasuk, as we quoted before, whoever had a soul of a living spirit in his nostril, and that is because we see that the primary life source is by a person's nostril, where the person breathes in oxygen and lets out the carbon dioxide. That is the primary area where one can discern if the person is alive or not. And therefore, again, similar to that, it would seem like everyone agrees that we check up until the nose. Their homachlikus was, if you're starting from the feet, if it's enough to check by the heart, or you have to continue going to the nose, just like we said, Abishal, although he says the child is formed from the stomach, from the tivurai, however, one would discern it from the nose, from the nostril. Now the Gemara continues on this halacha, this theme, about pikuach nefesh being deiche Shabbos. So the Gemara tells that ukvar hoy Rabbi Shmuel, there really was a time that there was Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mahalcha Maderech, they were walking on the road, the Levi Hasader, Levi the organizer, Rabbi Shmuel ben Shol, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mahalcha Nachrein, they were walking after them. Now, Nishala Shaila Zubifneim, this question was asked in front of the Talmid Chacham. Minayin lepikuach nefesh shedeiches Shabbos. How do we know that when there's a danger to a person's life, that we push away Shabbos, we're allowed to violate any of the malachas of Shabbos to save the person's life? So the Gemara tells us many, many different opinions that were mentioned, how we know this by a kavo chaymer, that for sure we can mechal Shabbos to save the person's life. So then Rabbi Shmuel, Ba'amar Rabbi Shmuel, spoke up and he said from the following pasuk in Shemais. Says the pasuk that tells us, Im b'machteres yimotzei ganav, if one finds a thief in the middle of the night coming, digging his way through into the person's house. So that is halacha that the pasuk tells us, you're allowed to kill him. You're allowed to kill the person that's trying to rob you by digging into your house at night. Now, on that, Rabbi Shmuel says the following kavuchim. Umazeh, regarding this case of what's called habo b'machteres, shesafik al mamin bo, that there's a doubt, maybe he's coming just to steal money. Safik al nefashes bo, maybe he's going to actually try to kill the homeowner. We're not sure. It's only a doubt. And ushvich is damim, the spilling of blood, which is permitted for the homeowner to kill this thief to save his own life, which is a very stringent aver, that of murder, which is metames haaretz, it defiles the land, like the pasuk says in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, v'loisi tames haaretz, when it talks about the parasha of murderers, it says do not defile the land, and it's also v'gerim l'shchinesh t'stalak mi'yisrael, it causes the divine presence to leave the Jewish people, as it says over there in the pasuk, asher ani sheichem b'seicha, regarding the land that I dwell in, but however, if you're going to defile it, I'm not going to dwell there anymore, and that was talk that's told regarding murder, and yet still nitin l'hatzila b'navsha, still you're allowed to go ahead and kill that person, commit murder to save your own life. So kavachem l'bekuch nefesh, isn't that most definitely regarding the saving of a life, shedeicha es Shabbos, that it would only be deicha the isurim of Shabbos, if it allows murder to save one's own life, most definitely something that's much less chamer in that sense, that of the Isur Shabbos, for sure you could be Mechal Shabbos for Pekuach Nefashos. Then Rabbi Kiva Amar, Rabbi Kiva spoke up, and he said from the following pasuk in Shemais. It says in the pasuk in Shemais Chaf Aleph Yudal, it says, V'chiyazit ish al re'eyu, if a person will be deliberate against his friend, which the pasuk there says, V'goyma lahargu, V'amar to kill him with cunning. And that the pasuk tells us, Me'im mizbechit kechenu lomas, that from near my altar you should take him to kill him. And what that means is me'im mizbechi, if that murderer is a kohen who is coming to do that avodah, which means me'im from with my mizbech, that he's right next to the mizbech, yeah, you take him away to stand judgment for his murder. But the diuk is v'loy me'al mizbechi, but not from above on top of the mizbech. And that is, if let's say the kohen already started doing the avodah, we don't stop him to take him to court. Rather, we let him first finish the avodah that he's doing, and then we take him to the court. And it's only because me'im mizbechi, that's with, that he's nearby the mizbech, but not me'al mizbechi. Now, on that, v'amar Rabbi Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yechanan, lo'ishanu, we didn't teach this halacha el lahamiz. if we're going to kill him, that is, on that we wait till we finish the Avodah, that's only Me'imiz B'chi, not Me'amiz B'chi. However, continue on Talmud Beis, Avalahachiyoiz, but it's, if it's to keep another person alive, and that is, if let's say this Kayin, he knows to find favor for a person that's being judged in Bezin, that they're going to kill that, they're going to prosecute that person and kill him. But we know that this Kayin has testimony to save his life, and that the Deek is, Afila Me'amiz B'chi. Even from on top of the Mizbech, the Kohen's in the middle of doing the Avodah, we say, stop what you're doing, take him off the Mizbech, bring him to court to testify to save that person's life. Now, Umazeh, Shesafek, Yesh, Mamash, B'dvav. Now, this Kohen, who there's doubt if there's substance to what he has to say, testimony to save the person's life. And Safek, Ein, Mamash, B'dvav. We're not even sure if what he's going to say is going to actually save the person. Yet, and still moreover, Va'avodah, Avodah is very stringent what he's in the middle of doing. Because it's Doiches Shabbos, we know that one does Karbanos on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, so we see Avodah is more stringent than Shabbos, and yet still we stop the Kohen from doing the Avodah to save, maybe save this person's life. So Kavo Chemele B'Kuch Nefesh isn't the most definite when we're coming to save a person's life, Shadeches HaShabbos, that we're going to push away the Yisurim of Shabbos, because even Avodah, which is more stringent than Shabbos, because we actually do Chil Shabbos to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and yet still we have the Kohen come off in the middle of doing the Avodah to possibly save someone's life, most definitely B'Kuch Nefesh will be Deich HaShabbos. Then Rebbe Laza spoke up, and he said from the following Kal V'Chaymer, says, Uma Mila, if we find by circumcision, Shehi, which that's fixing, Echad Mimisayim V'Arbom Ushmoin Evam Sheba Adam, it's only fixing one of the 248 limbs in the person's body, and yet still Deiches HaShabbos, it still pushes away the Isra HaShabbos. We're allowed to do a Bris Mila, which is doing a Malach on Shabbos, because ultimately there might be cars for a person if he doesn't do Mila, but however it's Deiches HaShabbos, so Kavo Chaymel Chol Gufish Deiches HaShabbos, all the more so when it's to save all the limbs of the person's body, which is Pekuach Nefesh, or he's going to die, most definitely we're Deiches HaShabbos. Rabbi Yisrael Ben Yehuda Aymer, he says a different source. A pasuk in Shemai says, it says that you should safeguard my Shabbos, meaning you shouldn't do malachas and Shabbos. Now, Yochel HaKoel, you would think that would apply in all situations, even for Pekuch Nefesh, you're not allowed to desecrate and violate the Isra of Shabbos. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk says with the word before. It says, Ach Eshabsoy Tishmayru. However, the only thing you should do is to save my Shabbos. Now, Ach is what's called a miyat. It's minimizing, that it's saying that only. And that means, Chalik, that means to say that it's differentiating and saying that it doesn't apply in all situations, and that what's the exception is regarding Pekuch Nefashis, that would be Deich HaShabbos. Another source, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, he says a pasuk in Shmoy says, Ki Kodesh Hilochem, because the day of Shabbos is holy for you. What does it mean, it's for you? He Mesrur B'yadchem, it's given over to your hands, V'loyatim Mesrur B'yadah, but you're not given over into its hands, which means to say that if you're going to die by having to keep Shabbos, we tell you, be machal Shabbos, so that you could stay alive, because Shabbos is for you, and you're not for Shabbos, and that's how we know that we're machal Shabbos for Pekuch Nefashis. Rabbi Shimon Menasi Omer, he says from the Pasuk in Shemais, there's a Pasuk in Shemais, Lamed Aleph, Tezayin, that says, B'shamru B'nei Yisrael Asa Shabbos, that the Jewish people should safeguard Shabbos, which the Pasuk there continues and says, La'asay Sasa Shabbos of the Reisim, so that they could do Shabbos for their future generations. What that sounds like it's saying is that we're keeping Shabbos, however, under the understanding that you could keep other Shabbos. And therefore, Amr Torah, what the Torah is telling you is that you should be careful when you're keeping the Shabbos, so that ultimately you should be able to keep many Shabbos. Hence, Chilul of Shabbos Achas, what it's also teaching is that desecrate one Shabbos, Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Harbor, so that you should be able to keep many Shabbos, which means we're going to desecrate the Shabbos to keep the person alive, so they'll live many more days and years, so that they could keep many more Shabbos. Now, Amr Bihuda Meshmul. Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Ihavoy Hasam, had I been there in this discussion when they were trying to find the source, how we know that Pekuch Nefesh was Deich HaShabbos and everyone was finding different sources, says, Havamina didi adifa midatu, I would have said that my source is better than all theirs. Because it says a pasuk in the Yikra regarding the mitzvahs of the Torah. It says, V'chai behem, that you should live by them, V'loy shriyamas behem, and not to die by them. And therefore, Pekuch Nefesh is Deich every Isser, including Shabbos. And because the mitzvahs are there to keep one alive, not to die, besides three exceptions of Gila Reis, Avodah Zarah, and Shvichas Damim. Now, on that, Amar Rava, Rava says, L'kulu islahu percha, all the opinions that were quoted has some type of a question on them, that they're not a full-fledged understanding of the halacha of pekuch nefesh to be teichas Shabbos. Bar midah Shmuel, except for Shmuel's deles lepircha, as he said, his was better than all of them. His has nothing wrong, no questions on his yalfus, on his teaching, as Rav explains. The Rebbe Shmuel, regarding Rebbe Shmuel, who he learned that from a kavu chayma of Habba b'machteres, that if someone that's coming, and maybe he's going to come to kill the homeowner, maybe not, and still you're allowed to kill him, to commit murder, to save his own life, most definitely. You're allowed to be deichad just Shabbos to save a person's life. Dilma k'derava. Maybe the halacha of Baba Machteres is like what Rava said. Dama Rava said, my tamid machteres. He says, what's the reason of Baba Machteres that you're allowed to murder the thief that's trying to dig into your house at night? The reason is, chazaka in adam maimen atme amamayne. There is an established fact. A person does not just let someone come and take his money. A person will not stand by innocently and let someone take his money from the thief who's trying to take it. And therefore, v'hai, that means this thief who's coming and digging into the person's house, made the yada dekoi, he knows that the homeowner is going to stand li'ape in his face, and he's coming with that intention. He knows he's going to have a homeowner confront him, because no one just sits by innocently and just lets the thief come and take all the stuff. Therefore, v'amar, what the ganav essentially is telling himself, ikoi la'apoi, if the homeowner is going to come in my way, because I know he's going to come in my way, ketilnele, I'm going to kill him. And therefore, this is not a case of suffic nefashis, it's a case of definite nefashis, because we know that the thief is really coming to kill the homeowner, because he knows, he's playing out the scene, he knows the homeowner is not going to stand there, and he's going to stand in his way trying to save his money. And therefore, if he's trying to take the money, obviously he knows the only way it's going to be is that he's going to have to kill the homeowner. And therefore, the Torah tells you, Vatar Amra, Bo lahargecha hashkim lahargoy, someone's coming to murder you, which he's coming to murder you, you get up first and murder him. And therefore, v'ashkechan vadai. Based on this teaching of Rabbi Shmuel, you only see when there's a definite loss of a person's life, which we know for sure he's going to get murdered. Safek menolim, we still would not have a source for the halacha that we know, that even safek b'kuch nefashis is deicha Shabbos. From this teaching, you would only know definite b'kuch nefashis. Because yes, you could learn kabbalah from there, where for sure the person is going to get murdered, so then he could commit an iser, in that case, murder, ritzicha, to save his life. But that's only because we know for sure he's coming to kill him. It's not a doubt. That's how Rabbah teaches and learns it up. Therefore, we'd only know that for sure regarding when there's a danger to life, and most definitely, then you could be Mechal Shabbos. You wouldn't know regarding Safek. Similarly, Rabbi Kiva Nami, regarding Rabbi Kiva's learning, that he said that regarding the Kayin, that we learn the Kabbal Chaymer, that we even take him from in the middle of doing the Avodah in the Mizbeach to go ahead and try to save a person's life, even though we're not sure if he's going to for sure save him or not, if his testimony has substance or not. And therefore, we see that regarding Shabbos, also by a Safek, Pekuch Nefashis, you'll be Deicha Shabbos, which is even less Chamer than the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And that the Gemara says, Dimakid Abaya, maybe it's like Abaya. The Amar Abaya, as Abaya tells us in Masech the Sanhedrin, now Abaya is talking about it within the context of someone that's being taken out to be stoned, one of the Mises Bezin. And he tells the people that are taking him, he says, look, I have a merit to find some type of defense for myself that I didn't think of up until then. So on that, there the Gemara tells us that we bring him back to Bezin, even four or five times, even though he already said once, oh, I have something to say, we bring him back again and again. But as long as there's substance in what he's saying, you can't just say, oh, I have, and thereby delaying his prosecution. And on that, the Gemara asks, how do you know? How do we know if there's substance or not? On that, Abaye says, Masridin le zugad rabban. We give him over, that is to, we give him two rabbinical scholars to escort him up until the place where he's stoned. Now, if he says, look, I have some type of thing to, as a defense for myself, that I shouldn't be killed, these two rabbanon listen. Leide im mamish bedvarf, to hear if there's some type of substance in what he's actually saying, that it sounds like this might actually be a way that he's not going to have to get killed. Now, and that is what the Gemara is saying, that maybe the same thing here is regarding the kohen who's doing the avodah. You could also say the same thing, that we're only going to have to stop him from doing the avodah to possibly save that person's life if there's mamish bedvarf. And therefore, ashkechan vadai. So therefore, we only know when it's for sure going to save the person's life, because these two rabbinic scholars say, that's a pretty good defense. You can save this person's life. Then we'll stop him from doing the avodah. But again, safek minolan. How do we know that even if it was doubtful, if we don't know if it would save the person's life, that we would stop the avodah, and hence that would be mechal Shabbos? And that the Gemara says, and bekulu ashkechan vadoi. All the different teachings that were taught, we only know that when there's a definite pekuch nefesh, then mechal. However, safek minolan, all the other teachings, how do we know that it would apply even in a case of doubt? And that is, for example, the case of Ach, that was Chilik, that was saying that not in all situations is it you have to keep Shabbos. that you could say that was only talking about by definite Pekuch Nefesh. However, you wouldn't know that it's even the case of doubt. So also the other teaching of that Shabbos is given over to you, but you're not given over to Shabbos, maybe it would mean that you're not given over to Shabbos to die for sure. But doubt, you would not be able to mechal Shabbos. And so too the halacha of that you should be mechal one Shabbos to said you could keep many Shabboses, maybe only if for sure you could keep many Shabboses, which is a definite saving of life. But again, safek b'kuch nefesh is, how would I know? You wouldn't know it from those teachings. However, Udu Shmuel vade lesli pircha. However, Shmuel's teaching most definitely does not have a question regarding the case of even doubt, because his teaching was that a person should do the mitzvahs, that he should live by them, for sure live by them. In other words, and don't do any mitzvah that will possibly bring you to death. And therefore you see that you're mechal Shabbos, even on a safek, because it's saying only if it brings you to life. If it might not bring you to life, which is a safek b'kuch nefashas, don't do the mitzvah, violate the mitzvah, and therefore Shmuel's is the best of all of them, because his teaches us not only vada b'kuch nefashas, but even safek b'kuch nefashas, which is the halacha, that even safek b'kuch nefashas is deicha Shabbos. Now, therefore, based on this, Amar Ravina, v'itim and some say Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok, tava chada pelpolta charifa. It's better one sharp peppercorn, mimolitzana dekari, from a whole basket full of melons, which means to say that although the previous ones were greater Torah giants from the previous generations, that these huge melons, and we have a basket full of all these melons, this one little sharp peppercorn, which is a reference to a later Talmudic scholar, and that is although he's smaller, but it was a sharp, he was, with his insight, he was able to teach us something more than all the bigger melons, that he was able to teach us not only vada b'kuch nefashas, but even safek b'kuch nefashas, that's deicha Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of Yom Kippurim, and one of the main components of Yom Kippur, that of atonement, and in general regarding atonement. So now the Mishnah tells us that chatas of asham vaday, when one brings a korban chatas, or a definite asham, which for example is a case of asham gizelis, which is if someone was denying that he had stole something and he swore that he has to bring a korban asham, and asham me'ilis, if he misappropriated the properties of Hekdesh, he has to bring a korban asham of me'ilis. Now, the reason why we're saying asham vada, a definite asham, is because there's an asham called asham toloi, which if someone is in doubt, if he even violated an iser of kares, then he brings an asham toloi. Now, the Gemara will ask, why isn't asham toloi included in what the Mishnah tells us now of mechaprin, that these two types of kabbanas of chatas and asham vada provide atonement, if it seems like the pasuk tells us that asham toloi also provides atonement. However, Rashi tells us that this, that the Mishnah is telling us that a chatas and a definite asham provides atonement, that because we're assuming that the person also did tshuva, repentance with that. Because if he wasn't mischarit, if he's not regretting, hence which is from the primary components of tshuva, then he wouldn't have brought a carbon. So therefore, yes, it's not just a carbon, which is the atonement, but it has to come together with tshuva, but we're assuming, and that's taken for granted, if you're bringing a carbon, most definitely you bring it because you have charata, and that's why you're doing tshuva together with bringing the carbon. Mishnah continues, says, Misa v'yem kippurim, mechaprim im atshuva. Death and Yom Kippur provide atonement with the tshuva. Now, the Mishnah continues and says that the reason is because there is different levels of isurim that require different levels of kapar of atonement. And that is, tshuva mechaperes alaveris kalas. Repentance alone is enough to provide atonement for the lighter violations. And with those are ala se ba lo isase, for a positive commandment in the Torah, and for a negative prohibition. That's something that one possibly would get in Malkus. However, ala chamura is, however, regarding the more stringent of the violations in the Torah, those that one would get karis, hu toila atriyava yom kippurim b'chaper, then the person is in suspension for the completion of his atonement until Yom Kippurim comes and provides an atonement. Now, ho'aymer echtava ashiv, if someone says, look, you know what, let me sin. This avera looks so tempting. I'll do tshuva later. Let me sin, I'll do tshuva later. Ein maspikim miyad lasa tshuva. They do not give him the opportunity to do repentance, because repentance is obviously something that's trying to undo. If he's using that as actually a cause to do the avera, then they don't allow him to do the tshuva. Similarly, if he says, echtav yom kippur mechaper, he says, look, I'll sin, and Yom Kippur comes around once a year, it provides an atonement. Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper. Again, there Yom Kippur would not provide an atonement, because here again, the whole purpose of it is a way of atoning a person. If he's using it as a cause for the Aver itself, it won't work for him to atone. Now the Mishnah tells us that Aver Shebein Adam Lamokam Yom Kippur Mechaper. Sins between man and God, then Yom Kippur provides an atonement. However, Aveira should be Nodim Lachaveira, he sins between man and his fellow, and Yom Kippur Machaper. Yom Kippur does not provide an atonement, ad Sheiratzes Chaver, until he appeases his friend. Only then will Yom Kippur provide the atonement. Now, actually, this Darish Rabbi Elazar ben Zari, Rabbi Elazar darshan this as an exposition in the Pasuk in Beyikra, that says, Mikol Chatei Seichim Lefnei Hashem, that from all your sins that are before Hashem, Tetaru, you will be cleansed from on Yom Kippur. Which that means is, Lefnei Hashem, Averish Benodim Lamokim Yom Kippur Mechaper. Sins between man and God, Yom Kippur provides an atonement for. Averish Benodim Lachaveri, and Yom Kippur Mechaper. However, sins between man and his friend, that Yom Kippur does not provide an atonement, Acheatzes Chaveri, until he appeases his friend. Now, Mishra continues and says, Amr Bekiva. Bekiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are you, the Jewish people, Lifnei mi atem etaharen. In front of who do you purify yourself? And mi mitar eschem, who actually purifies you? That is avichem shabashamayim. It's your father in heaven. Shanim, like it says, the pasuk in Yecheskel, v'zarakti aleichem mayim taharim utahartem. I will spray upon you, Hashem says, purifying waters, and you'll be pure. The Yerman that says, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is the mikveh, which can mean the hope of the Jewish people, the word kaveh, and also he's the mikveh, he's the purifying waters. And that is ma mikveh mitar satmeim, just like a mikveh, the purifying waters that are gathered together that purify those who are impure. Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metaris Yisrael, so too the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he purifies the Jewish people, and therefore the Jewish people should know how great they are, who it is that's purifying them, it's their Father in heaven. Now the Gemara asks, we alluded to this in the Mishnah, that it said that the Karban Chatas and the definite Asham, they provide an atonement. Now that the Gemara asks, Asham Vadei In, sounds like only a definite Asham, that has Kapara. Asham Talur Loi, when someone brings what's called this doubtful asham, when he's not sure if he even violated, let's say there was a piece of forbidden fat and kosher fat, and he ate one of them, he's not sure which one he eats, then he brings asham tali, that the Mishnah is not including in those things that provide atonement. But the pasuk does say the term of atonement regarding asham tali, which it says in Yikra Hey, which talks about asham tali, says that the kain will provide an atonement for that inadvertency that he had done, which you see the term of kapar. So now the Gemara gives two answers. Hanach mechapri kapar gemura. Achatas and Asham Vadei provide a complete atonement. You're done. Asham Tolei ein mechapri kapar gemura. However, on Asham Tolei, yes, there is some atonement, but it's not a complete atonement. It only suspends a way of protecting the person from afflictions until he finds out for sure that he did a sin, that then he can bring the karban chatas, as the Gemara teaches in Masechtas Krisis, and therefore, you see, it's not complete because when he finds out that he definitely did, even though he really brought Hashem Tali, he would have to still bring the Karma Chattas. Inami, another reason that there's a difference, is Hanoch in Acher Mechabe Kaparasan. Those violations which we bring a Karma Chattas for in the Hashem Vadei, there is nothing else that could provide their atonement besides for the Chattas in the Hashem Vadei. Hashem Tali, Acher Mechabe Kaparasan. However, Hashem Tali, something else could provide its atonement, and therefore we didn't include it in the hierarchy of things that are necessary for atonement, because the Hashem Tali is not necessary, there is something else that could take its place. It's not like we learn in Mishnah Masechtas Krisis that says, Chiyuv Eichatois V'Hashamiz V'Adoin, regarding someone that had a Chiyuv of bringing a Karma Chattas, or a definite Hashem, She'avar Alein Yom Kippurim, that Yom Kippur had already passed before they got a chance to bring their Karban, Chayavan, they're still required to bring their carbon. Their atonement is not complete until they bring their carbon. Asham is tluyin, if someone had the obligation of an Asham Toli and he didn't get a chance to bring it and Yom Kippur already passed by, then Paturin, then they're going to be exempt because Yom Kippur is Mechaper. It provides an atonement for someone that has to bring Asham Toli, as again, as the Gemara teaches in Masechtas Krisis and Nafchav Hamed Beis. And again, that's the reason why the Mishnah only tells us Asham Vadai, not Asham Toli. Now, the Mishnah continued and said that there's levels of atonement, and depending on the stringency of the Isser, there's tshuva, there's karbanos, there's Yom Kippurim, there's the day of death. So that the Mishnah continued, said that Misa v'Yom Kippurim, death, which is one of the more higher levels of atonement, and Yom Kippur, which is lower, mechaper nima tshuva. They only provide atonement, although they will continuously provide atonement for greater Isurim, they only work with repentance. Now, the Gemara makes an inference. Ima tshuva in sounds like that only with repentance. Bifnei atzma lai, but Yom Kippur on its own merit, or the day of death on its own merit, although they'll work for consistently greater Yisroel, they won't work without tshuva. And that the Gemara says, Neiman delei k'Rebbe. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe says, Akol aveir shebe'Torah, regarding all the sins in the Torah, Bein asa tshuva, bein loy asa tshuva, whether the person did repentance or did not do repentance, Yom HaKippur Mechaper, the day of Yom Kippur itself provides the atonement. Chutz, there are three exceptions. Miparik, all someone that throws off the yoke, which means he's a kaifer, he denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umegalapan batayro, or if he makes lectures of disgrace and disparagingly towards the words of Torah, for example, Menashe, who he would make these lectures based on emptiness, and he would say, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say this pasuk, and now you don't need that pasuk, and they would use it in their own way without the proper Messiah. And the third one is Umeifa Brispasar, and he nullifies, he abolishes the covenant that we have in our flesh, which is a reference to the Bris Mila. As the Gemara Masechta the Shavuos learns all these things out from Sukkim, why these are the exceptions that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper. Shem Yaseh Tshuva, Yom Kippur Mechaper. Regarding these three things, if the person repents, then Yom Kippur atones. Vim Lo Yaseh Tshuva, however, if he doesn't do Tshuva, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper, then Yom Kippur does not provide an atonement. However, it sounds like for everything else, Yom Kippur is Mechaper, even without Tshuva. And however, our Mishnah sounds like that, no, Yom Kippur and the Day of Death will not do any atonement if one does not repent. And that the Gemara answers a fellow Tamei Rebbe. You could say Rebbe is like the town of our Mishnah. Because Tshuva by Yom Kippurim, repentance needs Yom Kippur. So those are the words that our Mishnah is saying, that Misi Yom Kippur Mechaper Im HaTshuva, that is, yes, Tshuva works, but sometimes Tshuva itself is not enough. Tshuva requires Yom Kippur, or for a greater Isser, it needs the Day of Death. Yom Kippur like Bayu Tshuva. However, Yom Kippur itself doesn't need Tshuva. So yes, Tshuva needs Yom Kippur, and that's what our Mishnah is telling us, that although Tshuva will work for certain things, which, let's say, it will be Mechaper on the smaller Averis, regarding a mitzvah say and the mitzvah lois say, but on the most stringent ones, and that we said that you're going to be dependent on up until Yom Kippur, and for other things you're going to have the Day of Death. That means tshuva will not work without Yom Kippur and the Day of Death. However, the Day of Death and Yom Kippur could work possibly without tshuva, and therefore our Mishnah could be like Rebbe, who he says Yom Kippur will work for most averus besides three, even without the person doing tshuva.